We're continuing with the oral history interview of Shirley Bridge. This is mini disc tape number 4. I was wondering if you were involved with the State of Israel and its impact on Seattleites, being that it's far away from the East Coast and where a lot of people were emigrating to.
Well, we had, I must tell you that when Herb's grandmother came here, Grandma Bridge in 1880, her sister went to Palestine, so we have relatives in Tel Aviv. And we had relatives on a moshav and relatives on a kibbutz, and we had relatives in the city of Tel Aviv.
Have you visited them?
Oh, yeah. John and Bobby and Dan. Dan and the boys, when Jan was taking her exams, took a 10-month sabbatical and went over to Israel, and they were there for 10 months. And the kids went to school there, and so we would go over a couple of times and see them. And we were there when there was the first Intifada deal, and we were in the American Colony Hotel, and that was quite an experience because they were mostly Arabs, and they're Arab sympathizers. And we tried to get a cab outside the Arab section, and they were very angry at the cab drivers who were Arabs who drove the Jews around. So, we've been there. It was frightening, even in the beginning, and this was a long time ago.
What year are we talking about? You're talking about the late 80s?
Early 80s, I think.
What do you feel that your investment to Israel is as an American Jew? How identified do you feel with...
Very identified. I think that we've made some mistakes there. I don't know if we're going to survive it, but... I do feel I'm very dedicated to the causes, and we give money there. We have a space in the John F. Kennedy Forest. We've given a lot of money to that, too. I believe in land reclamation.
I think I read somewhere that there's a forest, a Shirley and Herb Bridge forest.
There could be. I don't know. I'm sure there's something.
How much do you feel Israel has factored into Seattle Jewish identity?
Well, with the Federation, I think quite a bit. In fact, they're trying to, John hasn't been over there for a while, but Dan had to take a group of kids over. I don't think it was wise. I don't think there's any way you can protect these children, no matter where they go. And that was to show solidarity. I think you push the envelope too much when you do that.
You're talking about recently because Dan's the director. Is he director and rabbi of Hillel, UW Hillel?
Yeah, he's been there for a long time. Gosh.
So he just took kids this summer to Israel?
No, he didn't take anything off. He'd had a couple of weeks with two groups of kids who wanted to go over. And they had a hard time trying to keep him safe, you know. In the meantime, he visited his relatives in Tel Aviv. But it's kind of hard, you know, to make a judgment. But I will make one and say I think that it's kind of counterproductive to go over there and say, here I am, you're talking, you're preaching to the choir. You don't want Jews to go over there as much as you want other people to go over and see. And they really are losing a lot of business because of the problems there. I have no solution to them. It just seems to me that the Arabs want everybody to disappear, all the Jews, and the Jews want the Arabs to disappear, and I don't know what's going to happen. If you have an answer, you tell me.
So I guess my last questions are around issues around women's networks and and aging. And I'm wondering whether or not images of women, Jewish women, have changed over the course of your lifetime?
Not enough. I think the young women are much better suited to become important in their own rights. But no, I don't think it's changed the... I don't know whether you can tell from the way you've interviewed, but I imagine that these women are just the same as they were 50 years ago.
How did you feel about feminism and women's lib, call it what you will at different times.
Oh, I've been in favor of it for all my life. And I figure that more Jewish women should be involved in that. They seem to be too protected, or maybe it's the community. I know people in certain communities, and I think mostly the Sephardic communities, that don't even like women to do investing or do anything in business. It just seems to me that's the wrong thing. You know, they expect them to do the domestic things and listen to what the men say. I don't know whether that's just part of their culture or whether it's a Middle Eastern culture or what. I don't know if you've noticed it at all.
Do you have any particular cultural heroines?
Well, some of the women from the League of Women Voters, you know, who have started. But I mean, Golda Meir was very interesting. She was one of a kind, though. Our group was called the Golda Meir Group in Hadassah, too.
How was she one of a kind, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think there was any other Jewish woman of her generation who would have been interested in politics like that. There are a lot of Jewish business women, but no. And there are some women who are involved in research, but not a lot. We have to leave it to you kids because, and I hopefully you kids will take up the gauntlet of being a modern Jewish woman in a modern world.
So what advice do you give to those women, to our generation?
I tell them to do what they want to do and be independent and be able to take care of yourself and not be dependent upon some guy for everything. That's the worst thing, to be dependent upon anybody for everything. That's why my daughters-in-law work. And I think it's very important to be independent. You never know what's going to happen.
Are there any other significant experiences in the last, 10 years of your life that, around aging, around witnessing the process of aging, that you like to close this interview with?
Well, aging is not for sissies. Old age is not for sissies. There is no doubt about that. But no, I think if you're lucky enough, and it has nothing to do with your physical body, if you're lucky enough to still have your mind, why, then I think that's all you really need. And you have to keep that active. But I'm sure that you've seen it with Mita and with Sarah Efron.
Are there women's groups or organizations, some women have book clubs and things of that nature, that keep their minds active, or where you talk around issues of health and things like that?
I meet with, we have a Kathleen O'Connor who writes for the newspaper on health care. She wrote a book and I'm critiquing it. But I don't know too much about that type of thing. I think that ask me the question again and give it a little more thought.
Well, I guess I'm wondering how it is that you, compared to the previous generation of women, cope with issues of aging, with health, and women are very active in women's networks.
Yeah, they are. There's one thing about the Bullitt family. I don't know if you know them or not. No, Dorothy Bullitt, Sr., owned King Television, and she was bemoaning the fact to Ansel Payne, who was her manager, that she was getting old and everybody was dying off, and he said, stop complaining, just get yourself younger friends. And that's what I've done. I really have friends among women in their 50s or younger. And we go on vacations. As much as I care for my older friends, it's just impossible to go places with them because they are even in worse shape than I am. But, you know, we all try to keep our heads on straight. We've been lucky. My oldest friend in this group is 92, and she's sharp as a tack. So what you do as far as getting older is not bemoan the fact, I'll get this guy.
Shirley, with those words, I'm wondering if you have any final comments or if there are things that we've missed that are important, or if you want to make a final statement?
Oh, no, I think you've hit everything, and I think you've been very pleasant and patient with me because I'm not a great one to be interviewed. But thank you for coming.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for being part of the project.